Good morning, and thank you for spending part of your Labor Day with us. I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich. Welcome to the conversation. Good morning, Chris Vandercook.
Good morning, Beth Ann. So life inside Cuba has been really closed off to us for decades, yeah?
But with more openness comes more opportunities to peek in and find out what we thought might have been true as opposed to what really is true.
Exactly.
We're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. Now, with diplomatic relations reestablished with Cuba, Americans are learning more of the nuanced details of daily life. Part of those changes include the advancement of the human rights of sexually diverse people. One person responsible for the shifting attitudes is internal medicine specialist Dr. Alberto Roque. He's visiting Honolulu this week to speak with the LGBT community. He's in our studio this morning. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
How would you characterize Cuba these days in terms of its acceptance of people who are sexually diverse?
My opinion, what it's happening is that we have a more tolerant society towards sexual diversity and gender expressions in Cuba. People awareness about homophobia and the bad impact that homophobia has is increasing in Cuba, absolutely. But still we have a lot of challenges. This is a very slow process of changing people's mind. I identified in the last probably 15 years a shift, as I said, on these issues in the Cuban society.
A shift based on the understanding of what HIV/AIDS was all about and trying to work toward prevention, or just a general shift in attitudes?
Both. But mainly, HIV was the origin of this strategy. It was from the healthcare system, the first time that the state promoting policies, were implementing policies towards vulnerable groups that, like men who have sex with men. And although this is part of the sexual behavior, it's not related necessarily to an identity or to a sexual orientation issue or gender identity as such. It's part of this process, how everything began in a very positive way. And now the policies are better. For example, in Cuba, it was today's Labor Day. Actually, a law on labor was passed in 2013, recognizing sexual orientation as a source of discrimination, among others. They recognized, for example, that instead of saying that you were discriminated because of your sex, it was also because of your gender. So this is the first time ever that in the history of a nation we have a law protecting specific needs based on sexual orientation. And this is an expression that many things officially are changing. At the same time, the cultural changes are taking place in Cuba in a positive way.
How are those changes coming to be? Is this because there's a concerted movement, or you have pockets of people who are working toward changes?
Yeah, in the first place, we have a center that is run by the state. It belongs to the Ministry of Health. That is the National Center for Sex Education in Cuba. They started working on these issues many years ago, and now you have the results. We have like an awareness campaign that is called The Day Against Homophobia. That is a world celebration during the month, mainly in May, on speaking, debating on the media in public spaces with a lot of cultural and academic activities in the whole country speaking about homophobia. This has been a very important issue. It started celebrating in 2008. So this is one of the issues, but also at the same time, a lot of activists has been taking part of this participatory approach, empowering this population, having a political approach on these issues of discriminations in general, and mainly focusing on gender identity and sexual orientation grounds.
Are they as segmented as it seems coming from just certain sectors? I mean, you mentioned about men and the idea of discrimination. I mean, these are different pockets, but looking at something that would be an umbrella organization or an umbrella movement toward all discrimination, all gender identities being recognized. I know you don't like the term LGBT, but as we have seen that movement develop in the United States, working in concert with each other in different parts of it. Do you see that happening at all, or at least the beginnings of that in Cuba now?
It's the beginning. It's very incipient. Still, it's very divided into these labels or categories. And it could be important to identify the main characteristics of, or demands of specific groups. But we are so heterogeneous, so diverse, and within the groups, even the groups, that in my opinion, we should articulate a movement with similar objective, similar goals, and at the same time recognizing specific demands in certain groups. For example, as a gay man, for me, it's not an issue of gender identity. Probably, but it's very important for trans people and the access to the guarantee of all legal issues concerning their transition to any other gender. So this is something that is part of some groups, the same as, for example, lesbians and reproductive rights. They should have access and the guarantee for certain rights that women probably do not need, although women also have reproductive rights to be recognized yet. So this is part of the issue that we can integrate, and not only based on sexual orientation and gender identity, but also racial issues and other sorts of discriminations.
Which sort of gets to the next part of what I wanted to ask you in terms of finding commonality that moves all those issues forward, or at least gives them a platform to be heard.
Yeah, I think so. And in my opinion, in the future to come, is that most of the people, we're going to have a very integrated movement, and mainly from civil society in Cuba, united these efforts to what the CNSX is doing, the National Center for Sex Education is doing, and we can empower a large population and mainly go into the community. That is, in my opinion, one of the main important issues to have a social and a cultural change. You can have many good laws, very revolutionary laws, but if you don't have a cultural change, it's useless.
And what about the relationship of what's happening within Cuba to what's happening globally and even within the United States?
Yeah, I mean, mainly from the United States, the exchanges that we've had, in my opinion, has been in international setting at the UN system with certain groups that are working together, articulated from the International Lesbian and Gay Association. This is an umbrella organization worldwide that started working on human rights since 1978. And is recognized by the UN system. And this is the way we've been exchanging with some activists from the US. I've come to this country 3 times, and I never had time enough to have exchanges on concerning specific exchanges on these issues. There are people coming from the States to Cuba, some organizations, religious groups that are gay, lesbian, but it's a way of, I think it should be increased in a way, the same as we do with a lot of Latin American countries, just to enrich in both goals and works.
And it seems you'll be very much a part of that process. Thank you so much for coming
in
today.
You're welcome.
Dr. Alberto Roque is an internal medicine specialist. He's also assistant professor and adjunct researcher at the Medical University of Havana. He founded the LGBT group Humanity for Diversity, based at the National Center for Sex Education, also in Havana. He is lecturing in Honolulu this week.